Hello, and welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Cami Culpepper, the Family and Connections Minister here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama. We're excited to be in a series we're calling In His Steps, Your Life Has Meaning. As you listen to these devotionals, our prayer is that you would find your meaning by being deeply rooted in the love of Christ as you learn to walk in His steps.
Thanks for joining us on day 7 of In His Steps. Today's title is A Prayer for Rescue. Charles Spurgeon said, "What a sight, Jesus and Peter hand in hand, walking upon the sea." Our text today is Matthew 14, verses 30 through 33. "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly you are the Son of God.'" There are different levels of desperation found in Matthew 14's account of Jesus walking on water. There is the if prayer of faith. "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the waters." Then there is the desperate prayer for rescue. "Lord, save me." Then there is the prayer of praise after a miracle. "Truly, you are the Son of God." There are also varying nuances of Jesus' words to his disciples. There are Jesus' words of comfort. "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." There is Christ's challenge of faith. "Come." Then there are the Lord's lessons on spiritual growth that is needed. "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" It is through consistently speaking with God and longing to hear his voice that we become his disciples. Sometimes it takes a prayer for rescue to realize that God is able and remind us that he is always there. Tom Wright writes, "We are like the disciples in the boat. They have seen so much of Jesus' power. They had heard his teaching and prayed his prayer, but now they were stuck. Professional fishermen, they were struggling with the oars, unable to make headway against the wind. And there, shimmering on the water, is a strange figure walking towards them. Much of our world knows at least a little about Jesus, but he seems a ghostly image, a mirage or a fantasy, unrelated to us and our problems. Some find him frightening. Others wish he'd go away and leave us alone. Even those who believe in him, as the disciples already did, don't know what to expect from him. But he seems to be doing the impossible, and sometimes people get the idea that it would be good to copy him, if only we could. Some people set off with the aim of doing just that, to bring his love and power, his peace and hope to the needy world. But then they let their eyes drop for a moment to the waves. Think of surfers on a Californian beach when suddenly a double-sized wave rears up and threatens them. Now take away the surfboard, the sunshine, the sand on the shore, and replace them with darkness, fear, and a howling gale. One man alone against the elements. That's what it often feels like when you try to bring God's love and healing power into the wild night of the world. That's when we need to hear once more Jesus' words, a combination, as so often, of rebuke and encouragement. "Is that really how much faith you have? Why all this doubt?" The moment when we are most strongly tempted to give up is probably the moment when help is, if only we knew it, just a step away. There are many times when Jesus asks us to do what seems impossible. How can we even begin to do the task he's called us to? How can we even think of doing without that sin which we're asked to give up? How can we really think we might be able to develop a serious habit of prayer when we're so frantic and disorganized? Of course, if, like Peter, we look at the waves being lashed by the wind, we will conclude that it is indeed impossible. What we were called to do. It's so basic and obvious, but so hard to do in practice, is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and our ears open for his encouragement, even if it does contain some rebuke as well. And our wills and hearts must be ready to do what he says, even if it seems crazy at the time. Don't ever stop speaking and listening to God. Stay desperate for God so that you will learn to pray passionately for his will. The stronger your prayer life, the closer your relationship will be with Jesus, and the more you will see him do impossible things in and through your life. Remember, this week started with Jesus getting alone to pray to his Father, and it concludes with the Savior walking on water and the disciples worshiping him. Vibrant prayer leads to victorious Christian living. Maintaining a consistent dialogue with Jesus leads to spiritual growth. Now, here are some questions to consider. How does following in the steps of Jesus lead you to passionate prayer? The same God who rescues wants a personal relationship with you. How can you seek a relationship with God in prayer more than you desire the rewards? What have you learned this week about passionate prayer? How do you plan to put into practice what you have learned? Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.